And it's a blessing to be here, see familiar faces and friends, and Keith was the one who baptized me way back in 1971. I was rebaptized, and I learned a little bit more, and got concerned about it myself. But Keith was the first one who baptized me down there in Vancouver, and my brother John was the one that first invited me to come to church with him, to the Lord's church, and told me I needed to be baptized. I was in a faith-only movement or an organization called Young Life, and I learned some things there that were good about Christ and God wanting me and loving me. That was all fine, and I was trying to serve the Lord, and John told me I needed to be baptized, and that was fine with me because I had read in the Bible. I was reading my Bible by that time, and I was thinking of the fact that I need to be baptized, and the organization, they didn't baptize people, faith only. And so when John told me I needed to be baptized, that was all right with me. And so I was taught the gospel there in Vancouver and was baptized by Keith first time. Second time was Charles Daly from Vancouver there, once I'd been going to Minnehaha for about a year, year and a half or so. But anyway, so people here have been a blessing. I know most of you, and some of you maybe I'll get a chance to meet tonight that I haven't met, but it's been a great blessing to know each of you, and a blessing of being with you here tonight. So, let's ask God's blessing on the message as I begin. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you that we can be here tonight, and I pray that you'll help me as I speak. It will be a blessing to each of us, myself included, and helpful from your word. And so, bless us in your word, and help us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to speak to you on worldliness tonight. Worldliness is spoken of in the scriptures, being Jesus was in the world but not of the world. So from early in the scriptures we get the teaching that there's a difference. We're not to be of the world, but we're to be in the world. And so I'd like you to turn with me to 1 John to start with. 1 John in chapter 2. Verse 15 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." So, if you love the world, says the love of the Father is not in you. So it's a pretty serious thing for a person to be worldly or love the world. And God doesn't want us to be in love with this world. He wants us to be transformed and not conformed to the world. Let's turn over to James in chapter 4. Look at James chapter 4. Yes. says, verse 1, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And he goes on. So, the pleasure. They're seeking after their pleasures, and basically that's where you get worldliness and being in the world, is people seek after their own pleasures instead of after the things of God, the things of heaven. Paul said, if then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above and not on the earth. You know, so in our lives we have this this situation where we are either serving the flesh and putting our mind on worldly things, or else we're set on the Spirit and on God and serving God. It says to that he jealously desires the Spirit which he made to dwell in us. Some of your translations may have the Spirit in capitals, or in with a capital on it. I wonder whether he's talking about our Spirit that he put in us, you know, us, ourselves, our spirit and soul, whether when we turn after worldly things, that he jealously desires us. He wants our spirit to be close to him, rather than saying that he jealously desires the Holy Spirit, which is always a part of him. So he wants us, he wants our devotion. And when Jesus was asked, you know, what's the greatest commandment, it was instant to him. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like to love your neighbor as yourself. So, you see, God's desire is for our spirits to be walking with him, loving him, setting our mind on the things of God and not on this world. But while we live in this world, we have all these things to deal with around us, and it can become a problem set ourselves too much on things of the flesh and not on the Spirit. When I was a kid, we had a neighbor named Timmy Mathiasen, and John remembers Timmy. Timmy had a terrible temper. I remember one time I was leaving this house, he was mad at me about something. And he had a long driveway. I mean, we're talking eighth of a mile driveway or so. You know, so I was down at the end of his lawn, probably about 100 yards or so from his front door. And all of a sudden I hear, Chucky! He's yelling at the door at me, and then he just started running after me. And he wasn't a very good runner. He kind of halted steps, you know, but he was running as hard as he could, just as mad as he could be. I outran him and I ran home, you know. So he was a couple years older than me, but we liked Timmy. Timmy came over all the time. I'd go over to his house, and John remembers Timmy well. I know that, and we all do. But one time, Timmy and I were up at this gas station where I got we both had paper routes. Timmy and I got them at the same time, and his went one way and mine went the other, and we were up there, and I think this is why we were at the gas station. getting our papers or for some reason. And I don't remember the circumstances, but I had a 20-inch bike, and I took the inner tube out. Oh, I remember now. Okay, I had a leak in the inner tube, and so I had sprayed this liquid stuff. You know, it was new on the market, and now you can buy all sorts of stuff that's better than this, but this is new stuff on the market. You just put the can on there, and you spray that can into the inner tube. Well, I did that, and it didn't work. So the next step, what's that? They still don't work. I've never tried it since. But I could hear it in there, you know, it's liquid inside the inner tube. And it didn't work, so I took the tire off, I took the inner tube out, and started, for some reason, to blow that thing up. So I just kept putting more and more air into that inner tube, and it got huge, you know, it just got huge. And we were just laughing, Timmy and I are just laughing, at this huge inner tube with a big bulge here, and we're rolling it back and forth with the gas leak, you know, just laughing, this is ridiculous, you know, this little inner, the 20-inch inner tube. And all of a sudden, Timmy stops, and he's looking at the bulge, and he sees this hole, a little tiny hole like that in the inner tube. And I came over there, and he's looking at it, and all of a sudden, he just puts his finger over that hole, and it just, pow, just all this junk, you know, from that fluid stuff just blew up right in our faces. We're just standing there, what happened, you know, what happened? Well, I think there's a good illustration in that about worldliness. And just to prove it to you, and to get this set in your mind, I brought a 20-inch bike tire here. And this is my own parable. I couldn't talk Jonathan into doing this. And Emily, there was no way to talk into it. So I figured Bud would do it for me if I was here. You want to come up, Bud? You want to do, okay, all right. Bud, I knew Bud would do it. Well, I didn't know, but I was confident Bud would do it. So, Bud, I want you to just put this on there and blow that up. Yeah.
Is it flat?
Yeah, it's flat. Yeah, it's flat now. Just flat. Should be a good inner tube in there. So it'll only take him a second here, but I will warn you, Bud, that tire pump doesn't work very well. So it's harder to push than the normal good tire pump. And there is, Leslie, I want you to know there is, Leslie, I want you to know, Leslie, there is some duct tape on that tire pump. So, just in case you wondered. So, we'll see here what Bud can do with this thing. Well, it's not working too bad. I put some oil on it. You might have to wash your hands afterwards, Bud, but I did put some oil on there. Okay. The parable of the inner tube. Let's see. Ooh, Bud. That's good. That's good. That's enough, Bud. You're going to blow that thing off there. Okay. Now, this inner tube represents Christian life here, living for the Lord. And right now, I'm just afraid how much Bud put into this thing, but let's see here. Oh, wow. We even took the dust out of the thing. There's no duct tape on this, Leslie. But. Okay, this is, it's at 36 about, just around 36 pounds. That's good. I only got 30 in it when I tried it this afternoon. Now, you notice when the inner tube is inside the tire, it has a purpose. And it works pretty good. You know, you put that in a bike and it works pretty good. It has purpose and it fulfills its purpose. Now, I want you to think of the tire itself as self-control and as a close walk with God and dedication. This tire is that. The Lord, the Holy Spirit helping, God helping, because you're seeking the Lord and you're living close to the Lord. And then it's self-control there too. So self-control, in other words, and being dedicated to the Lord, allows this inner tube, the representative of your Christian life, it allows the inner tube to fulfill a good purpose. Isn't that right? It would, because you have this tire on there, it works. It's good. It fulfills its purpose. It was made for that purpose. Isn't that right? The fact that we have self-control and we're dedicated to the Lord, we're living for the Lord, that is our purpose in life. We want to serve God, love God, because He made us look forward to heaven. Okay, now, we also noticed that it took 36 pounds. So you can take a lot of pressure when you're walking with the Lord. A lot of problems come up in life, isn't that right? We have problems all the time. Somebody told me, he said, the only person that doesn't have problems is the one that's 6 feet under. I got thinking, well, that depends. You know, you have a lot more problems if your body's 6 feet under if you're not a Christian. But anyway, you don't have any problems on this world anymore. So this inner tube is fulfilling its purpose. It's doing a good job keeping the tire up. It takes a lot of pressure, can handle a lot of problems because it's got self-control and walking with the Lord. Okay, now we're going to let the pressure out here. No, wrong way. Okay, bud, here's your next job. Have you ever taken a tire off a rim there? Well, I have a few tools here for you. None of them are made for this purpose. but if you can, I figured this thing would work in here like this. Yeah, that'll work like that. Then you can use a couple screwdrivers. Yeah, try not to pop the inner tube, bud. Otherwise, you're fired as a bike mechanic. Anyway, while he's doing that, I was going to see whether any of you might come up with another verse. Any of you young men or older men might like to come up with another verse from the Bible about worldliness, or something that ties in there, the flesh, walking after the flesh or something they might like to share at this point. You done, bud? Nobody's sharing. Okay, well, he's getting there. I think. It's not as easy as it looks. Yeah. Here, let me help you. Sometimes having two people on it can help.
Chuck?
Yeah.
Romans 12:2.
Romans 12:2. Will you read that to us?
Do not change yourself to be like the people of this world, but be changed within.
One half off. All right, that's a good one. Anybody else have one? Yeah.
Romans 8:5-8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature is, what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. He does not submit to God's law, nor even do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God.
That's good. That fits right in there. That's a good one. Okay. Bud and I finally showed ourselves capable of dealing with this thing. All right. Any other scriptures? Jonathan's sitting there saying, I'm glad I didn't accept the offer to do this. Okay. Hook that up there. Okay, we got another scripture there.
Galatians 5:16 through towards the end of the chapter, talks about the spirit and the worldly, the fleshly, human nature, and how they're doing battle, and it gives a list of the things that are sinful and are selfish, and he lists them out, verse 19, a whole bunch of things that get in the way of the spirit meeting within us.
That's works of the flesh there? Or?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Flesh is fine.
Yeah.
That's you want me to just start with the things of the flesh?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
The wrong things the sinful self does are clear. Being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping God, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people. Feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like these. I warn you now, as I warned you before, those who do these things will not inherit God's kingdom.
All right, very good. Thank you. Okay, so we have worldliness, worldly mind, the mindset on the flesh, and so forth. It takes us away from God. You won't make it to heaven that way. And back to our parable now. We've got your Christian life here without self-control, and you're really interested in something, and let's see what happens to you if you let it go too far. Some worldly thing. Oh, wait a minute. Just a second, bud. Okay, now put those on. Okay, I'm getting out of here. Okay, just a minute. We'll stand just a second, bud. I gotta see what happens to this. Now, I haven't done this since that time I talked to you about Timmy. So this has not had a trial run, so I don't know what's going to happen. Okay, go ahead, bud. Notice we have a long string on that tire pump there. This inner tube's probably 15 years, no, 25 years old or something, so who knows what's going to happen here. But I can pretty much guarantee fluid's not going to fly out all over the place. Look at that thing. Okay, just a second. There it went.
Oh, too soon.
Yeah. Well, I thought it'd last longer than that. Okay, thank you, bud. You can go wash your hands now. Well, I'm sorry it didn't reach the max like the one that Timmy and I were blowing up. But you could see it was all starting to get out of shape, too big. And I was going to take a reading on the pressure. And even though it was twice as big, that pressure probably wouldn't have been half as much. You know, it just couldn't take as much. It just kept stretching out of shape. And life, when you go into worldly things, what you're basically doing is you're taking something, in most cases, that's good in itself, and changing it and perverting it, and becomes perverted and blown out of shape in your life so that it becomes sin and strangles you spiritually. Now, for instance, work. Is work good? It work. If it's honest work, it's good. But what if a person thinks he just needs to work more and more and more and more, and he's not satisfied with the amount he's getting, and he neglects his family, he neglects his wife and his children, in other words, he neglects church and everything else so that he can work and work and work some more. What has he done? He's changed something good in itself, and he's changed that into something that is a sin. It's overtaken his life. That's worldliness. He's become worldly. He wants so much out of this life that he's neglecting all of his spiritual duties, even though in itself work is fine. Sex is the same way. Sex in marriage, nothing wrong with it. It's God's blessing to a marriage. But people who take and think too much about it, start looking at other people. If you are married, looking at people in sexual desire and wanting more and more of that in your lives, turning to pornography and so forth. We had a fellow that had come to church off and on in Longview, and I got a call from him, and he's in jail. He's in jail right now for a sexual sin. Confiscated his computer too, but now he's repenting and everything in jail, knowing that he got away from the Lord. He didn't seek Christian fellowship, and what God intended for a good thing became worldly and sin in his life, because it's like the inner tube without self-control. It just blows up and blows up until it and gets so big it blows up in your face, and you're ruined. Other things as well, riches. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's nothing wrong with money in itself. It's the love of money, that's the problem. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." He goes on. Riches. Nothing wrong with needing, you got to make money. And the Bible in Ecclesiastes talks about money as a defense. You need to make money. But if you set your mind on money, and you just go after money more and more, it becomes worldly, and you become worldly seeking after it. I remember I substitute in various high schools down there in Calhoun County, and I was looking through a yearbook that had just come out. I believe it had just come out, and they had in this one all the seniors could put down a little bit of what they plan to do with their lives, and I was amazed at how many of them said, "Make my first million. Make $1 million. Make my first million. Make $1 million." That was their goal. And it can become a snare for Christians as well, that they just want more and more things and more money, and that's their goal in life, and they're distracted from the things of God. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 4. Jesus talked about these very things over here in Mark 4. Mark 4 in the parable about the sower talks about the ones among the thorns, fell among the weeds, and it says in verse let's start with verse 18. "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world," all the things you can worry about, "and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You become worldly. You become of the world instead of God. So these things can choke the word in you and just choke you out spiritually. Appearance is another thing that people get out of balance. Nothing wrong for a young lady or any lady to keep clean and brush their teeth and smell nice, you know. But some women go beyond that. And 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about that. 1 Peter 3. And that can become worldly. And you can look at someone, you know, that's all glamored up and say they're worldly. They're just worldly. And Peter confronts that. The people in his society had problems with that too. Says to the wives there in 1 Peter 3, verse 3 we'll start. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, which in those, you know, he's talking about the glamorization of his time. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So God keeps calling us back. You know how he mentioned that to Timothy? He calls us back to godliness. He calls us back to him instead of focusing on worldly things and becoming worldly ourselves. A person can become worldly even in playing computer games. Some people neglect their families due to they're so involved in computer games. I remember a fellow that was like that, and they rented a game from one of these places that rent games. He and this other guy, those two guys, rented this computer game. They're both Christians. Well, they got it home. And this guy was so addicted to computer games that he wouldn't let the other guy play the game. He just, oh, no, wait just a minute, you know, no. I saw one little cartoon, you know, one-liner thing where the guy's at the computer like this and the Grim Reaper's behind him tapping him. And he's just kind of saying, wait a minute, you know, just like this. And I think the line was something like, I don't think you quite understand. You know, but what it is taking something that might be fun for a recreational time, blowing it out of proportion, just like the inner tube, you blow it out of proportion until it affects other areas of your life. You're not devoted to God anymore. You're not spending your time with walking with God and in prayer and Bible study, concerned about people's souls, because you've blown this thing all up out of proportion in your life. It'll blow up in your face. Either here, the family members hurt, or other people hurt, or yourself hurt, even to the point of losing jobs or whatever, or when you meet God and He asks you to give an account of your life. Anything can be that way. It might be good in itself, but you've let it go too far. Television, movies, a little bit, recreational or wholesome thing. It's all right for recreational time, I think, if as long as it's wholesome, or you know, it's not straying from decency and so forth. But people just get to the point where they're watching wrong things, they're watching too many things, they're not praying much, they're not reading their Bible much, and it's become the overblown inner tube about to blow. That's what it is in their lives. It has taken over. It's worldly. They have become worldly, focused on things of the world rather than God. But we need to beware of this danger, because there's so many things in this life that can deter us from a close walk with God, and setting our minds on so many other things, so many desires, like Jesus said, a desire for other things, enter in and choke the word. So if you're involved with something too much now, and you say, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm neglecting some things in my spiritual life because I'm so involved in this or that or the other thing. I need to refocus, fixed my eyes on the Lord and serving Him. Well, I encourage you to think of that inner tube. It gets out of shape. You're not within self-control. You're not fulfilling God's purpose for you if you're doing that, letting godliness and self-control have its effect in your life to where you're walking close with God. Because I don't want to see it blow up in your face like it blew up in Timmy and mine. The inner tube. So I encourage and exhort you to walk close with the Lord and be careful of creeping worldliness into your life. That's a danger all of us face, and we need the Lord's help and blessing to be strengthened against it. Lord bless you. It's been good to be here. Thank you for your attention, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. So I will turn the